Welcome to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series, recorded live during the liturgy at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church in Ellicott City, Maryland. This homily is from the Easter Mass, 2017.
Happy Easter. To guests that we have with us, family members or friends who are visiting here from out of town, we're so happy that you're with us today. Other guests that are here, that you're living in Ellicott City, and you're here with us, we're really happy to have you here as we celebrate Easter Sunday. All of the readings, the hymns for the day, all clearly, obviously, they speak about a great rejoicing that is supposed to mark the day. When I was a kid, I think it seemed to me that the reason that we were rejoicing was for the sake of Jesus, in terms of, like, as a kid, this was the day when we dressed up and you were a little bit friendlier with people at church, you sang a little bit more, you wished people happy Easter, but the whole point in that was, as a kid, like, hooray for Jesus because he's not dead, and that must be a really nice thing for him to not be dead anymore. But it seemed like a day where we were, as a kid, kind of being forced into the happiness of another person. And as a kid, it was somewhere in that same compartment in my head as you know, being forced to, you know, kiss the relative that you didn't really know that well and you weren't all that close to, but, you know, go ahead, Eric, you know, give your great aunt twice removed a big kiss on the cheek. And as a kid, it didn't seem like the joy was internal. It was more like, well, this is all for him. But how wrong I was. It was only after my conversion at the end of college, which I was not seeking on my own. That was just the Lord wonderfully just coming in so unexpectedly into my life. But it was only after that what we read in the Gospels, then I came to realize, well, this is what it's always meant to be for me. When you go into the Gospels, what you discover is that for all of those who knew Jesus, the reason that today was such a day of great joy was not because they were primarily happy for Jesus, but rather they realized what the day and the event meant for them. So, for example, think about St. Peter. The very last encounter that Peter had with Jesus before he was crucified was that third time when Peter denied even knowing Jesus. And the Gospels tell us that at the moment that Peter denied him for the third time, he caught eyes with Jesus. Jesus looked at him. Peter looked back at him. And that was the last glance that Peter shared with Jesus. And it cut him so deeply to the heart that the Gospels tell us that Peter, he went away, ran away, and he wept bitterly. Now, can you imagine for Peter how awful that must have sat in his heart, the fear of thinking that here's the man that I said I would die for, and my last interaction with him was one of denial, and now he's dead. The fear that Peter must have had that he would never be able to be reconciled with Jesus and would have to carry that guilt through the rest of his life. What an awful, terrible fear that must have been in the heart of Peter. But the reason that Peter was so filled with joy on Easter Sunday was not just because of what the resurrection meant for Jesus, but what it meant for Peter. There's the opportunity for him now to be able to say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Give me a chance to start over. I don't want that to be the way that our relationship ends. The joy that Peter must have had at having been given a chance to experience mercy and another chance. For Mary Magdalene, I think, what was the fear that she must have experienced as she watched them lay Jesus in the tomb and roll the stone over the entrance? Scripture tells us that she was the one out of whom the Lord cast seven demons. And we don't know any more about it than that. But clearly what scriptures are telling us is that she was so out of the place of God, so immersed in the darkness of the world, that she was filled not with the love of God, but with whatever those seven demons were. And the Lord delivered her from that, and he brought her into a place of relationship with himself, where she was able to experience in him real love. A love that was so profound that she left that whole old life behind and devoted herself to simply following Jesus. Her fear, I imagine, must have been, well, is that it for love? I mean, will I now just return back to that old life in darkness? Because without him here, now what? For John, the apostle, he was the youngest of the 12, and he followed Jesus, and for him, following the Lord became his future, and it was something worth giving everything else up for. And I imagine for John that there was the fear that, well, now what? I mean, do I just go back to a life that is without that same purpose, that same meaning? Do I just go back to a life where it's just working and just that's it? I mean, is there any joy in that? I mean, here's a young man who wanted a future that had a purpose, that had a meaning. For him, the resurrection of the Lord meant a future filled with hope that would have that purpose and that meaning. Think about Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. For her, I imagine one of her great fears as she watched her son suffer was that if it all ended just in death, then did her son suffer so horribly, so awful, so bloody a death in vain? You can imagine, you know, the heart of a mom caring more for her child than herself, whose fear is, did my son die in vain? So the joy for her, among many others, would have been the joy of knowing that he endured all of that, but it was not in vain, and in the way that only the heart of a mother could really, really appreciate it and desire for her son, that he did not suffer in vain. His victory over death says that everything that she watched him go through and what broke her heart was not simply for naught. See, when you look at some of these figures from the Gospels, what we learn is that Easter for them was a profound joy, not because, like for me as a kid, it was like, hooray for Jesus, but rather it was, if you're not in my life, if you're dead and I don't have you, my life is empty, and without you, I don't have mercy and a second chance, like Peter. Without you, I don't have love, as Mary Magdalene experienced. Without you in my life, I don't have a future that's worth living for, as it was for John. And without you in my life, if suffering gets the last word, what's the point? As it was for Mary. The resurrection of Christ is meant to be real for us, and it's out of that that the joy is meant to come. At all of the Easter Masses so far, often as I've looked out and I see faces and I think, well, I think I see some folks that probably are now where I was before, where today is all about dressing up for Jesus as opposed to the real joy that's meant to come when the power of his victory is at work in our life. So I'm praying for you, and we're praying at this Mass, that we would experience in our life what that joy is meant to be. So where do you start for that? Well, for some of you, the joy of Easter today might be as it was for any one of those four. For some of you, perhaps the joy of hearing God say to you, I really do want to forgive you, and I want you to leave that sin behind and experience an unburdened life. I want to give you a second chance. I want to you to be able to start over. Maybe for some of you today, that's the joy the Lord is wanting to offer you. For some of you, it may be like Mary Magdalene. It may be that you have been so hungry for just genuine love in your life, and you've feared that maybe you're never going to find it. And the joy of Easter today for you very personally is the Lord saying to you, I know what your heart's aching for, and I want to offer it to you. For some of you, it might be the longing for a future with meaning. It may be that you desperately need to know that the suffering that you or a loved one is going through is not in vain, as it was for John and then for Mary. But I think the best key to getting in to that place where you are meant to experience the joy of Easter is this. What right now in your life is the place that you experience the greatest fear? Like right now in your life, what's the biggest fear that you have? I'm talking about like the one that's all the way down in the pit of your stomach. Not something that's a little bit simpler that will pass. I mean, I'm talking about the deep fear down in your stomach that you don't even want to go to. That, I think, is the place where the Lord is saying, if you want to know where I intend you to have joy, it's in that place that right now you only have fear. You notice in the gospel, throughout all of the Easter accounts, over and over again, the people are being told, do not be afraid. And that word specifically is the invitation from the Lord to move out of that place, whatever the fear might be, into experiencing the power of his victory. The Lord wants that for us today. So as we move through the rest of the Mass, I want to encourage you, let the Lord in to whatever that fear might be, because I think that's the place where the Lord wants to be at work. For some of you, it might be the fear that your marriage, which has had great difficulties, is never going to get better. And your fear is just like, is this what I signed up for? Is this what it's always going to be? And the joy for you might be the Lord saying, let me work in both of your hearts that you might forgive one another, learn to trust one another, that you might learn to love more deeply again. But whatever it might be, we want to ask the Lord for the grace to let him into that place of fear, that by his victory it might become the place where we have most deeply experienced the joy of his victory and his risen life.
Thank you for listening to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series. We invite you to visit our website at www.olphparish.org to get connected with everything our parish has to offer.